Good evening, Council and staff and Mr. Mayor and department heads.
Glad to see
honored,
you.
Honored guests. let me kind of start out with a little preamble, then we'll kind of get into some of these expenditure decision cards. Kind of a preamble is we've had a busy several months negotiating contracts, labor contracts with our six different unions. Just as you will recall, we got marching orders from council to try to replicate the non-refs. Non-refs got a 2% and 3% for next year. We went non-refs went from health insurance from a kind of full-blown Regents nice plan down to a $20 copay group health. That saved the city $7,000 a year each employee, those that took the insurance. A couple opt out and that sort of thing, a couple of big group health. So that was our goal with all the other units, was to try to get down to a more sustainable group health $20 copay plan. The group health PPO plan is very similar to the $20 copay group health plan. And all those rates are in this nice little booklet from AWC. All those rates are there, and we do get a 2% reduction because we're a well-recognized, well city. 2% off those premiums. It's pretty cool.
It's
been running 2 years, and thank you, Susan, for your efforts. I think we're qualifying for next year, are we?
Well, we're not done, but we did
the
hard part, which was the health question.
Very good.
And it takes a great amount of aggressive, beneficial nagging from Susan.
And free food.
Yeah.
So we've been, like I said, the management team's been working with the goal of trying to replicate what the non-refs got. That is 2%, 3% for 15 and 16. We worked pretty hard at that and also tried to get that lower cost to the city group health plan. After many meetings, we did conclude with the police guild. Instead of 2 and 3, we got a 2.5 and 2 3/4. But we were able to go not all the way down, if you will, to the group health $20 copay. We were able to go down to the Regents, they call it a Regents 250 plan, which saves it $2,000 a year per employee, a significant savings. Not the $7,000 a year like the non-refs got, but a significant savings. So we settled with the, and the other nice thing is we kind of, with the police guild, we shared in the risk of premium increases. It's not a huge thing, but the union pays 5% of the total premium. The city pays 95%. That's a change from a fixed dollar premium. So as the premiums go up substantially, we share in that risk. Pretty much got the same concept finally settled with the Teamsters. Now, let me go back. The police, we have binding interest arbitration. A third-party arbitrator on the police guild will settle if we come to impasse.
Yuri, close the door tightly.
We were able to overcome the impasse from the police guild. Now, the Teamsters, even though there's no strike, no lockout, for all of our unions, no strike, no lockout, that's the real world, there is no interest arbitration with Teamsters and machinists. We get to keep negotiating. We do go to arbitration, and we did. mediation. Great difference, mediation. But it can drag on 4 years, literally, and we would incur more and more legal costs. Representing. So we did end up settling with Teamsters a few months ago. We did a 1% this year, just like the police, retro. And then a 3 and a 3 on Teamsters. We got the same deal where we went down from the full-blown Regents to the Regents 250 plan. Again, a significant savings to the city. Those were hard and long and drawn-out negotiations. Sometimes there'd be weeks, even months between meetings. Not on the city's part, but it just took a long time dragging that out. That's kind of where we are. We've settled all of our units, except for the police lieutenants, which hopefully will settle soon. I believe we're just tonight going to be the same as the police guild got. So it's been a little arduous. We didn't get all the way down to the lowest group health. We got down to the lower regions plan. And I guess good for the city, cost savings to the city, a bit of a burden to employees. It's not all smiley faces. Kind of like there wasn't all smiley faces in the non-reps. But we've concluded after tonight all the groups. And again, those are kind of wage increases, 3% for the most part next year. And it's kind of tough to cover those with 1% property tax, but I think that's what we're going to get this year. Another 1%, if you opted, would give us another $24,000 per year. So that's kind of a preamble in terms of, and labor is a significant cost of the city, huge, about half or more than half in some funds. So I guess, any other comments, Greg, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I just want to add here that one of the big issues, and the numbers Mark was saying is, you know, even though we gave wage increases, the change in insurance netted a cost savings to the city. And what's difficult is when it comes to insurance is, you know, insurance doesn't cost you much unless you use it. And so that's the concern is how much insurance will you use this year? And so even though the premiums are less, the deductibles are higher. So one of the bigger issues we dealt with the union is the perception that by them increasing their deductibles, that was a direct offset against any wage increase. And so it took us a while to kind of make it clear to them that, you know, this is the direction that the non-reps went, this is the direction that the guild went, that arguably has arbitration when the other units don't, and this is the direction that you all wanted us to kind of push forward in. And it has worked out for us, and I think we still have some excellent health coverage in the city. The deductibles are a little bit higher, and it'll be really on a case-by-case basis as to the employees that use. We do tend to have a younger employee mix, so they tend to have more children, younger children, who tend to use more insurance. So we feel like the cost savings is going to be substantial to the city because as time moves on, these plans morph, but the lower cost plans would eventually, the higher cost plans were eventually going to go away in 2018 because they would have kicked into the Cadillac tax. And so we just kind of got out ahead of this by doing it now. One of the things that really helped was the police union. They were actually represented by their guild attorney. And as we mentioned, the unique aspect of police is that if you cannot come to a conclusion, even after mediation, you go to arbitration, and the arbiter hears the pros and cons and says, okay, but you're going to get number 3, number 6, and number 8, and that's all there is to it. It's imposed on them. So arguably, police, and we don't have a fire union here, but they have a stronger bargaining position because at some point in time, you quit arguing and you just go to a disinterested third party who decides for you. Well, one thing that really helped was there are these arbitration awards. And so the attorney we use for labor negotiations with the guild actually put together a chart showing what the arbitration awards had been this year. And it was clear that our offer was exactly in line with what the arbiters had been awarding. And so it didn't take the guild very long. They're perhaps a little more sophisticated at this, but it didn't take them very long to realize that this was probably as good or better that they were going to get if they actually went to arbitration. And that did kind of set the stage for the other unions. But, of course, as you would expect, what another union does doesn't matter, unless, of course, it's better than what you have. If it's less, then you're not particularly interested in listening to it. But be that as it may, we stuck to our guns, and it did actually work out. I think it worked out well for the employees on balance, and it worked out well for the city. What was interesting is that we do have group health and regions, and group health has been a cheaper premium-wise plan. The deductibles are different, what have you like that. But as you remember, each year we get increases in our insurance rates. Well, it became, I think, clear even to group health that they were the cheaper date in town. And so this year the increase for 2016 for group health was substantially more than it was for regions. So that difference is now really closed up. So there's really not a huge difference between the two plans, which I think over the years is going to serve to even itself out. And people will now be able to not really look at what's the lower cost plan, but perhaps what's the best plan for them. Some regions in group health do differ as far as coverages, especially if you have children maybe going to school out of state and things like that, because there's provider networks and out-of-provider networks. But it did work out in balance. It just took a long time. But I'm happy to say that tonight we're going to be hopefully approving the lieutenant's contract. We have our two lieutenants who are in a separate union from the police guild. But for the most part, their wages are pegged to our patrolman wages. And so the lieutenant's machinist union took the tack that, okay, we'll talk after the guild settles. And, of course, that has happened. We've now talked, and you will see later on how the agreement we've hammered out with the two lieutenants really mirror the agreement that we achieved with the guild. So
have we avoided the Cadillac tax for all of our employees?
Yes. Okay. At one point, the union said, well, let's just wait until 2018. And we go, well, that's fine, but we'd like to get out in front of it. We've been, as to use the mayor's terminology, we've been kicking the can down the road. We've been wanting to change insurances for years, and the unions have actually taken smaller wage increases in the past, sometimes even 0%, in order to keep their insurance. Change is hard, especially when it comes to insurance, because it's there in case you need it. And there's that fear factor embedded in insurance that, do I give up my insurance? Sure, I haven't needed it, maybe. Why? And I might need it next year, maybe. So there is a little uncertainty out there. But I think we've gotten past that. And so now the agreements we have, and we did go for three-year agreements, so these are 2015 to 2018. So the next time we'll be back for labor negotiations will be the fall of
2017.
Through 17. The fall of 17, which means from a budget standpoint that we'll be able to, or Mark will be able to for the next couple of years at least, to be able to factor in a lot more knowns and not as many unknowns when it comes to what wage increases might be. We'll still be guessing on what the health insurance premium increases have been. But like it or not, ever since the Affordable Care Act, it appears that the double-digit increases in premiums that we saw for many, many years are now a thing of the past, hopefully for a while, at least temporarily. So I think it's going to bring a little more surety and knowledge to our budget as we move forward, which is going to help you and future councils, because we have to look at not only the cost today, but the cost ongoing. And the biggest cost we have are personnel costs. So in that regard, when we do go through some of these expense decision cards, some of them will be for personnel. We've somewhat come out of the Great Recession. Our employee numbers are still less than what they were pre-recession. I don't anticipate getting back up to those levels and exceeding those levels right away. I don't think we need to. I think we've found that you can do more with less. The employees have really pulled together. And they've really learned to work better together, but we're also seeing increases in the development activity in the cities, and with that comes extra stress to try to keep proactive and keep everything flowing as well as you can. So when we go through the decision cards, we're not saying that the world is bright and we've got money rolling around in our pockets we don't know what to do with, but I think you will see some strategic staffing requests that are being requested. I would like to, as we have in the past, consider in some cases starting off with part-time employees and working into full-time. We've done that in the court. We've done that with our code enforcement. It allows us to not only start off in a lower cost arena, but it also allows us to find if it's a good fit, to find out if the workload is there to support it. And so in some cases we may need to look at our staffing needs, and you may obviously say yes, no, yes, yes, no, but in some cases there might be some maybes. We do mid-year hires, so as I was talking to Councilmember Watson, that just because December 31st is our deadline for a budget, that we will adjust the budget next year. And so if there are some things that you just don't feel comfortable saying yes or no to definitively, we can take a wait-and-see approach on some things, but to the extent you feel comfortable and staff is able to make a case for it and the money's there, then we sure you'll look at it with your usual in-depth understanding. So Anyway, with that. Well, I was just trying to figure out what word to use. And sometimes the words come quicker than others. And of course, the key for me is just to stop talking.
Just, you've done good.
Just to follow on that, to Greg's comment about health insurance, we got the rate increases today, next year. Group health went up 9.5%. Not quite double digit, but I think they realized that they were pretty low, and they must have a strategy. Look, we won't lose too many people. We'll go up 9.5%, and the plan that we have from the majority of our employees, the Regents 250, is went up 2.5%. So that's kind of interesting. I had 6% for each in the plan 2 weeks ago. And so we've done better. So I've reflected that. We're still showing a small surplus in the general fund.
That wasn't supposed to happen under Obamacare. How did that happen?
9.5%?
Yeah.
It's less than it was before Obamacare.
So let's go through. I handed out a long sheet for you. Let's go through these quickly, decision cards. I have not burdened you with all the backup detail. I have that. And
just wanted to add, too, just before Mark jumps into this, this afternoon we actually did receive some more decision cards from Public Works,
yeah.
And there might be actually a couple more coming from Planning and GIS. So this list is not exhaustive, but it will kind of give you an idea of, at least on the first go-around, what some of the asks are for next year.
Good point. The first item on row 8, support for nonprofits, I did put it in on a draft basis into the budget. Certainly council can have that, take that out. Last year we waited until February or so to see how we did in the prior year in terms of surplus monies. Same values, the same dollar value, $14,550. Row 10, we're going to ask for one full-time equivalent support for City Hall to support water, sewer, storm. Just improve our customer service, get some more backup training when people are gone to answer the phone and that sort of thing.
So is $80,000 the full cost of benefits?
That's okay. The estimate of, yeah, with a pull up. Most of these numbers are kind of high if thinking we get a full family of medical coverage.
Okay.
Well, you don't know who you're going to hire, and of course you can't ask when you're interviewing, yeah. You know, whether you're single or whether you have, you know, 63 kids. So
but we would all go to water, sewer, storm, except perhaps 2 or 3% of the general fund for general fund types of activities. And if we need to, we may even start doing passports again to bring in a few dollars of revenue on a scheduled basis. Community development, row 12. This is to increase, this one is to increase the code enforcement officer from half-time to full-time, kind of on a permanent basis for next year. We'd have to throw in the benefits, insurance, and that sort of thing. Should cost about $43,000 higher than what we're paying at a halftime level. We have seen an increase in fines since Maddie started halftime, actually. And that's encouraging.
Are they going the same way as the criminal court fines? We fine them, but they don't pay.
All I see is the ones that pay.
Oh.
I don't see the ones that don't pay. No, you might speak up to it. We have some action we can take, right, when certain customers or developers don't pay these things.
Correct.
There's some teeth in it.
Yeah, so we have two different ways where if they don't pay, we can refer to the prosecuting attorney who has said that when it comes to that he wants to be aggressive. And or we can take the approach, Maddie is working with Shirley up at the courts to come up with an independent kind of collection system, most likely using the same company as they do. So for those people that refuse to pay, it's not worth taking it through a criminal matter, but so that we can recoup a portion of the cost and or possibly impact their credit.
What about something more in the line, something more aggressive in leaning their properties? We have bazillions that were owed in criminal fines that we'll never see because you don't get money from...
No.
I use that word. Thank you. So I just don't want to see another exercise of futility with fines again.
Absolutely. And that's something that we have wanted to explore. To be honest with you, and I
realize it's new.
Well, and it is new, and I know there are other things for you guys to think about. when we're in the mix of, oh gosh, now we're dealing with this other person and something else is happening, we right now don't have the time to do all the research of how do we go about doing that. And hopefully at some point, possibly with additional staff, we're going to be able to figure out how would we actually go about doing this. Because right now it feels like we're learning one step ahead of doing.
Can the city attorney be involved in that?
Yeah. Another city I worked at years ago, we actually were pretty aggressive on filing liens. Good. And it's something that you can do as a non-lawyer. I mean, it's something that our city attorney would be involved in up front to be sure that the training was there for the forms. It's almost a caring feeding. The liens are only good for so long, I forget how many years. So you have to be sure you track them and then refile them. Otherwise, they fall off and you lose the ability.
Mm-hmm.
So like anything else, it can be done. It takes a little paperwork, but with today's software, I'm sure we could set up a pretty good tracking system to do that. So, but that is, and you bring up a good point, unlike the court fines, that once you get the fine and they don't pay and they go to collections and they double the fine and they still don't pay, there's not a lot you can do. But with these fines here, you can actually lien the property. And sometimes that actually has a bigger effect than actually having an outstanding, you know, speeding ticket or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Because people do want to sell their properties. They do want to refinance and finance their properties. And these show up as blemishes against the title report. So
and if they're rentals, landlords aren't going to like that.
Yeah. So absolutely. Right. Absolutely. So, yeah, that is something that we could certainly explore.
On Row 15, this one is for three new police vehicles, basically for one new officer plus two replacements. We went ahead and put it into the draft budget. Basically, the solid waste fund is funding those three vehicles, $45,000 apiece. So it's in there on a draft basis.
Can we clarify something? We say new officer. This new officer was funded this year. We just never hired him for some reason. So it's not really, we're not hiring a new one, we're just getting up to our 19, correct?
It's a new name to me. When I see a new name on the payroll, to me that's
but it's
a
something
new
that's
officer.
Already been budgeted. Yes.
Unlike the federal government that appropriates different years back, you don't carry forward typically authorization, but I understand what you're saying.
But
it was authorized a year or two ago.
Right.
But a mid-year. A year ago, it was authorized a mid-year replacement.
Right. And we waited, and we finally hired that person here last month. So, yeah.
We're showing up now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's
very good point.
It's new from a face standpoint. It's not new from an additional budget.
Well, it's. I try to get away from that new because then, like everybody else
you
in the public,
it's added, it,
think that it's new when, in fact, it's a year and a half old.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it was authorized a year and a half.
Yeah, but remember, too, that we I think, had authorized two vehicles this year, but do you agree that we would get three vehicles this year, which we're going to be doing? So the three vehicles this year, the next year we'll get three more because we are, and the chief has done a real good job of kind of aging out the fleet, and we can see that is our rotation because we do. Our patrol officers do that. They patrol, and they actually do put a lot of miles on the vehicles. And at a certain point in time, you back up, you go forward, you back up, you go forward, you turn around. It takes wear and tear. You open and close the doors. I mean, these are not highway miles.
So are we going to start planning for three new vehicles every year?
That is something we're going to be working on. It'll probably be in the two and three range if we do increase the number of patrol officers in the future. That naturally necessitates more vehicles. And what we really want to do is try laddering out their mileages so we don't get six vehicles, eight vehicles that age off all at once. We have been very fortunate to get the Stone Garden grants in the past, so it has relieved our budget. But in hindsight, I wish we would have had the budget to actually augment the Stone Garden money with a little bit more to kind of get maybe one more vehicle. But I think the plan right now is probably in the three vehicle range for at least the next couple of years.
We have,
that's a lot of money.
Well, we have the mileage. I mean, you know the mileage. Statistically, I mean, you almost better plan on it. I mean, those vehicles, we have a track record. They're not going to drive less miles.
I don't have a problem with the concept. I'm just trying to figure out how we need 135,000 more every year for
right.
A long time.
And Mark and I think about this. Luckily, as he mentioned, you know, solid waste is people are throwing things away again still and even more so. So that's a good thing for us. But one of the things that we're also looking to, and we'll have to see how it folds out, but should the voters approve the sales tax increase for the jail, there is a portion of that sales tax increase that we keep. And as our sales tax revenues grow, that sales tax that we keep will be growing. And those monies are specific that they have to be used for criminal justice purposes. So,
is there any way we can set a limit on the amount of miles that we will allow an officer to take that car home?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. We have one
because
officer
that,
right now.
That can run mileage up pretty quick if he's living 40 miles away.
Right. Yeah, we have one officer who does live out of the county, but that's an anomaly. He's the only one that does that, and he is, I believe, driving one of the older vehicles. But
I thought he was going to stop. I thought that was our agreement. He was going to stop.
That was the intent. We did end up negotiating a much larger payment from that one officer for gas and oil and mechanics.
Yeah, so he makes a payment
much
to us
larger
each month. The alternative was, and we had considered this, but the union really didn't feel like it was appropriate. We had thought about it the other way around, that we would actually pay him so much just to offset partially the cost of him using his own vehicle. But this officer has been doing this for a while. How much longer he's going to be on the force, I guess, is up to debate. It's something we just don't know. But for the most part, we can talk about a response time. And for the most part, most of our officers do live within what might be considered, I think, a reasonable commuting time from the city.
How many patrol cars are retiring each year?
1 to 3.
Yeah, 1 to 3. Pretty much as we replace them, we retire. And sometimes
can
we
those be used for the scope vehicles that we're looking for?
Yeah, sometimes we do that with them, and that's something we're going to be looking at to see if that's a possibility. We've also sometimes rolled them into the city fleet. In fact, the vehicles that we have right now are older police vehicles, which arguably we don't drive nearly as many miles for. So we try to figure out how we can manage the fleet and kind of pass them down, but we do end up surplusing and selling some, because when you get that many miles on it, there really is. And our mechanic is key to that as well. He's very good at kind of identifying which vehicles are perhaps a little more troublesome than others. And that's just the way vehicles are. Something built on Monday or Tuesday might not be as good as Wednesday or vice versa. So, yeah, we try to do pretty well, and our mechanic is unbelievably good at keeping those vehicles running. Because they do something they have to. You can't just say, sorry, we don't have any police cars for this shift. So it's something that is high on our need list. And Dave does just an outstanding job of keeping everything running. But even with all of his knowledge, after a certain amount of miles, you're kind of just, you're throwing dollars, you know, at something that perhaps is better used in a different way.
Which leads me into the next one, in our public works person who... obviously, we have this thing getting golden shovels at this event, and then he has a vehicle he can't even transport shovels to, not to basically hurt our scope officers. I like our scope officers, but why can't we trade Bo's nice little SUV that can't even haul shovels, and let's get Bo a truck again and give his vehicle to the scope?
Yeah, that's something we've been thinking about, because I think there is a new vehicle in here. First go.
It's a pretty nice vehicle.
What are you doing over there? You're
planning
had actually had their eye on that.
on the SUV. Oh, Bo's?
Yeah.
Oh, fine, sure. Here we go. Open vehicle.
Bo submitted that decision card, that proposal.
Yeah.
The trade?
That he would get a truck and then this would roll.
Well, we haven't authorized that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. I mean, it's silly that your supervisor can't haul 10 shovels somewhere. That's silly.
I mean, it's a nice vehicle, but perhaps is not well suited for the needs.
Yeah, it's a 1-year-old vehicle.
And why did we do it? I know who did it, but certainly somebody.
There's somebody.
Should be answering to somebody else and say, I'm going to do this with Bo's vehicle. What do you think? He shouldn't just have the leeway to just do it. So let's keep that in mind for the guy who replaces him, because that is one of the dumbest things I've heard in 8 years here.
Duly noted.
Did we add a second?
Not the first time I've heard that statement.
No, we just have one mechanic, right?
But
this is, we're talking about the potential of July of next year of adding. Actually, it should be 16 instead of 15.
Oh, good.
So when you say scope.
Yeah, we're
going to
jump around here a little bit.
Well, yeah, no, I was jumping up the scope going, I see brand new scope vehicle, not, you know, scope is a great program, but scope could easily do that in a really nice SUV that can't carry shovels.
Or they could use it in a vehicle that has 90,000 miles.
Doing that. I see some meetings in the future.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, hopefully it's recorded so Bo can listen that I'm trying to defend him.
Row 21 is what we alluded to earlier on police support staff. Police went down from 4 support staff to 2 back in 2008-2009-ish, like some other departments did as well. And this is to bring someone back on support staff-wise for the police. It would be $49,000 total pull-up. That's if they're single. You really can't. You can't interview for that. It'd be much more if they have a full family for medical insurance. And if you're only able to afford a half-time non-benefited, it'd be closer to $20,000. A half-time.
Yeah, I was going to say, as
both. These are two hires. Were you just giving us two options?
Right, just the options. Exactly, exactly.
I'm sure the chief would prefer the first one.
Yeah. And as I think as all of you are aware, you know, it does kind of matter where the funding comes from, you know. Police for police, it's in the general fund, it's property tax, it's sales tax. So I think as Mark moves to refine our revenue forecast for next year, we'll be able to see or at least suggest to you whether we should go full-time or part-time. In many ways, and I know you may be tired of hearing this, but a lot of ways it's easier for Water, Sewer, Storm because they are enterprise funds and they have their dedicated funding sources. But it does matter when it comes to map some of these decisions. But yet the monies don't have to come from just property tax and sales tax. There's other sources as well. So should you deem them important enough, we will endeavor to find the funds.
We're still just assuming 1% property tax.
Correct.
Let's. They've lost 2 and have had none replaced. So other departments have had some replaced, correct?
Yeah, we've started. I should say, downstairs administrative, we had 4.
We had four.
We're down to 2. Upstairs, we had, 3 planners or 4, and we're down to 2.
Yeah.
What we've really added to there is the code enforcement, so that's new. The court went from 1 to 1.5, and now they're up to 2. Public Works has remained the same. Well, Parks has remained the same, so we've really kind of held the line when it comes to bringing back what we took away.
We have extras because I don't know her name, so I apologize for that. But there's Patty, there's the lady next door,
right? And yes.
And then we have Riley, who's been added. It wasn't in there, and of course Susan. So we've always had a city clerk, so. We have had some additions.
Well, we had a clerk and deputy clerk. We had, you know, Linda and Sylvia.
Sylvia.
And now.
But Sylvia did a lot of the other stuff.
She did some of the other stuff, which Patty is now doing. She did payroll predominantly,
but
which Patty's now doing.
What are our totals now?
I can get you this sheet here. Yeah.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah. But in 2009, we had total for the city 67.5 employees. Mm-hmm. Broken out by department here, and I'll get you that tomorrow. We went as low as 57.5 in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're back to 64.5, so we're still down 3 from our peak in 2009.
Well, that's fine, and I'm not arguing that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we've added some somewhere, so maybe it's time to look. And I'd like to see, you know, perhaps the general fund and the storm fund. Somehow you can work it out.
Are you talking about raising the storm?
No, I didn't say that. I'm saying funding.
I heard that.
Because it's a bottomless pit. You've heard it here as much as I do and hear that.
No, I like the way you're thinking, though, and that's the process. We'll get you this list.
Okay.
You can kind of see we're trying to get back to full strength and figuring out every way we can.
I agree with all of these people on here. The mechanic, you can really save a lot of money on your fleet by having stuff done in advance, not Band-Aids.
And part of this is succession planning as well. You know, we know our mechanic is not going to be around for 5, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. So we want to chart, not only is his workload increasing, but we also want to try to do some succession planning. And and for the most part, that's kind of what we're doing in some other areas. You know, we did hire the water sewer treatment plant last year, and we may be in the next year or two possibly adding there. But I think the key is this conference I went to, they talked about, you know, the new normal, which, of course, is now just normal. That's no longer the new normal. And places are finding that no one's going back to the staffing levels they had before. They're just not. It's just not the reality. So, again, it's strategic. It needs to make sense. It needs to have funding. But I think the way we're proposing to do this now and in the next couple of years by incrementally increasing, I think is prudent. And but we do need to identify from a prioritization standpoint, which ones come first.
And I agree with that. And I agree with it from the standpoint that if there was not a recession, if that had never happened, by this point in time, we would probably have added at least 2 or 3 more than we had.
Absolutely.
Because the workload is there and justifies it. Mm-hmm. But when the recession hit and we cut back, it was actually really good because everybody stepped up to the plate, and I'm really proud of our staff. They jumped up and said, we can do this. And they've done it. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to come back to this big, giant number that where we would have been. We just want to come back to where we were when the recession hit.
Yeah, we don't want to fall behind, and we just need to...
I don't think anybody up here is faulting you for wanting more. I mean, the list he sent out today, was it?
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
I mean, all the stuff that's going, we can't afford to sit on that.
So, I agree.
Customer service. How's the public works position coming along?
It's coming along fairly well. We've actually, our headhunter has gone through the applications, interviewed all of them, just kind of weed out, if you will. They've selected 5 folks for finalists, and we're going to be interviewing on the 15th for that position. And so hopefully here, that's probably October, probably November 15th, maybe end of November, 30-day notice, what have you. So I'm hopeful that by mid or late November, perhaps early December, we'll have a new public works director, and we'll be able to kind of get back on track.
That's the time to bring you on, right in the middle of the storm season.
That's right.
Get his feet wet, so to speak.
Literally. I know you've been the public works director in the interim.
Yes.
Were you compensated additional?
No.
Okay. You just need compensation.
Taking one for the team.
So much money.
I do this forever.
And to his credit, he's never whined about it more than just a couple times.
Okay.
it has... Not by design, but just by reality, it's actually saved us a considerable amount of money.
Yes,
because even though we had to pay 4 months severance, after those 4 months, the monthly salary that we're no longer paying has been kind of cumulative. And it's kind of a double whammy. Not only are we not paying, we have not been paying the wage for a few months now. Portion of my wages have now been rightfully assigned to some of these, to water, sewer, storm, streets. So overall, and Mark knows the numbers, I don't, but I think even though it's been a terrible burden on me, the city has done well, and in fact, I did want to...
Yuri, could you all help us right now and just pat him on the back for a couple seconds?
I'm trying to not vomit.
In fact, our next study session, we're going to be bringing forward, been working with staff, and they've just doing a hell of a job on it, our new water, sewer, storm, streets, facilities, capital improvement plan for 2016, which is really a revamped and brand new document. It's the same format from what you saw last year, but with, in my mind, at least a lot more staff input. And 2 weeks from now during the study session, staff is actually going to present what they believe are our most highest priority projects for 2016.
So do you want us to go through this tonight and say yes and no, and thumbs up, thumbs down? Any of these, or do we wait until we get the next list?
That would be great. I do want to say just one thing. The water sewer storm is a separate funding source, and frankly, when we propose adding a staff member in City Hall to do water sewer storm, adding a staff for the field ops water sewer storm, the fund can afford it. We're up 58% on rate and fee revenue, water and sewer, over 7 years, 58% in dollars. We're up 15% in customer count. It's about 2% a year over 7 years. Project about 2% growth, water, sewer, customers, and storm. So certainly the revenue and the customer growth, we think, can and I've run the numbers on the side, and things still look good in terms of water, sewer.
So do we think that if we get a full-time employee for City Hall support water, sewer, storm, that they can sit at that, answer that telephone?
They will sit at that desk. They will answer the phone, maybe not on the first try. It may go through our phone, not a phone tree, but it goes here, and then here. That person is primarily to support water customers, especially when our full-time water person's on vacation. We need to return those calls and emails and all that stuff, which we're not doing now.
I think they'd be willing for the things where funding is available now to say okay, and then because I'm not ready to say if there's no funding for it. Yes, personally.
You can see that column that says yes, there's funding.
Yeah.
You can give us a nod that would be a progress.
Yes. I saw a nod.
Yes.
What?
We're in so all the things where there actually is funding available in column AG.
Yep, in column AG.
That we could say yes.
Did we discuss the public works one?
No, we didn't discuss.
No, we
didn't. Jumping around.
No, didn't we? We've been jumping around. We didn't quite work down.
Yeah.
The field person, another person for the field.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we have not discussed that. They haven't grown for probably 10, 12, 15 years.
And this one is another one of the workers who would go out with Bo whenever they needed.
Yep, the crew.
The road.
Exactly. They work on roads, power, water, sewer, storm, roads, and a little bit of park, and a little bit of city hall maintenance, building maintenance.
And then the two is total cost of everything.
That would be full up. Yep, full up.
So this is not the fourth person that we've been wanting for years down at the treatment.
We have four now.
And we do have.
Yeah. There's rumblings
last year.
Yep.
Rumblings about a year or two or three, maybe a fifth. There's a lot of stuff that is not getting done or not getting done adequately.
Are there any fining capabilities in storm that this code enforcement officer would be assisting Wendy with?
How about the guys that are steam cleaning their semi trucks in their driveway?
you can let Wendy know when that happens, and she'll send him a nasty gram.
They all use the same enforcement procedures. Whether Maddie writes the thing or whether Paul or another person writes it, they do talk an awful lot about here's what's going on.
I'm just looking at another source for potentially funding part of it. Going to full time.
Have we tracked Maddie's activity in terms of what it means in return? Have we ever done that?
Tracking fine.
And that's where you're going, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yes and no, but I didn't know if they were, perhaps Wendy does her thing, and then if she has issues with somebody not doing their storm stuff that they're supposed to, who goes out and takes care of that?
Well, actually, yeah,
would that be passed to
Maddie?
Well,
actually, we have Paul, our stormwater technician that we hired, was it this year or last year?
This year.
Okay. And that's what he's doing.
That's independent of
it Maddie. And that's the whole idea that the storm fund is supposed to kind of take care of their own matters. As far as Maddie and the code enforcement, I would hate to characterize her position as something that she could earn her pay, because many
nobody
times,
else is doing that. I'm not trying to go there.
So I would say a portion. Yes,
I didn't mean it that way, Mark. I know what you're thinking.
You know, through fines. It's almost like you don't hire cops and say I expect you to write X amount of tickets, but
who
you
doesn't?
Expect more cops will write more tickets just because there's more eyes on the street. And so a code enforcement officer who has the time and energy to go out and find things will find them.
What if the chief's new clerical help helped out a little bit in the stormwater fund?
Well, right now, I think they're doing fine.
Really, I don't think we're asking for more labor.
I'm glad you brought this up, though, is I wish you could listen and see your staff, because it's amazing in my 8 years here. We'll do a new position. And then we'll go into it and we'll go, oh, well, let's give them this, give them this, give them this, give them that. And this isn't going to work. I got them going in 15 different directions, and they can only go 7 at one time. But it's a great thought process. We will fill up their time, trust me.
But yes, but on line 25, this is a brand addition, a first time in a decade or so addition to the Public Works Group. They are just busy as heck.
And not a replacement for the person who's going to.
Not a replacement. This would actually be a brand new, living, breathing person to really, I think, take some pressure off.
Are we going to have to get him his own shovel, you know?
I think we have plenty. We have some.
Not gold ones.
We'll have some extra gold ones.
And like a lot of departments, when you don't have much turnover, and you know, when you get more time and more years, you get more vacation time, and so there's fewer. It's like the chief would say, the fewer officers available for all the shifts. And
so can we approve the ones that have funding available?
We've got seven items in the funding column.
Mechanic, mm-hmm. So we can pay for the mechanic for 6 months next year. Will we have money to pay full time?
I would say yes, because a lot of that is water, sewer, storm. We allocate the mechanic's labor, firstly, a number of vehicles and where those vehicles are assigned and used. We also hit the parks budget for equipment because all their stuff is licensed rolling stock. So the majority of the mechanics' time is split among heavily water, sewer, storm, and street. So the answer would be yes for 2017 and on.
So if you have the $50,000, is that an annual figure?
It would be for half a year.
So we can look at that as double.
Yep. But the water sewer storm, more water sewer, not storm so much. The revenues are strong. Customer growth is dependable. It excludes any major new water sewer storm customers, like jail, like if we get a big box retail. Those are, you know, they take a lot of capacity. They'll pay a lot of upfront fees plus monthlies.
Yeah, but neither one of those is going to happen in 2016.
No, but looking out 6 years, I'm not putting any of those large projects in, but water storm is healthy, cash balance-wise, reserve-wise.
And the workload, I mean, our mechanic now, he does have a lot of work.
Yeah. So I was going to suggest to you, if you are comfortable with adding the ones that have funding yes columns checked, Mark can do that, and perhaps more importantly, he could then kind of roll those into his, not only his 2016 potential budget, so you can see what but into his six-year.
That would help.
So that way you can kind of see what the enduring effect of this time going full-time might be.
I would be hesitant only because these got in first. You say there's more coming.
Well, they were
at
all
some
due.
Point, when does the trough run
yeah.
dry?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the other thing I was going to mention is that I wouldn't want these to go away and just disappear. We could tentatively put them into the budget, and then when we come back with perhaps the more full decision card, we can have it split out. Like, these are already in the budget, these are not in the budget. So should you find something in the next few weeks or months that you find to be a higher priority, we can go back and revisit these. So I don't want you to think that if you say yes tonight, that's
okay.
It.
Okay, can you keep them kind of highlighted in different colors so that we know
sure.
something that
yeah.
sure.
easier?
Sure, covered.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Black and white guy.
I'm like a mauve.
All run through the color copier. You know,
chartreuse.
11 cents a piece, but oh well. Less than a penny in the black and white.
Finance guys.
All right. Any other questions? We'll probably wrap this up.
Okay, so if you're comfortable, we'll roll them in, realizing we can revisit later.
And the staff side, well, that's a separate.
Yeah,
I just want to put it there to remind us
that
we haven't funded that for years, and we used to do about $100,000 a year.
Okay, any other questions or directions for staff before we take a recess? Okay, good job. Okay, we're all adjourned to the regular meeting.